Turn to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. I want to speak to you this morning about transitions. Maybe a little bit different take on our State of the Church address this morning, but I think it's something that we need to be considering and have at least in the back of our minds. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Transition from his father's house and from his country and from his kindred to a land that God would show him. And thus began God's dealing with the nation of Israel and Abraham. And that included many, many transitions and changes as well. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of transitions that we see. And I was thinking in the Sunday school this morning, you know, probably the greatest transition or change that any of us have experienced is you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's Ephesians chapter 2. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new, and all things are of God. That's a transformation. Transitions. They're a part of life. The reasons for the transitions, the changes in our lives, oftentimes are varied. Most of the time, it's just a natural course of life. Life isn't static. Things don't remain the same. Things change all the time, whether it be the little things like the weather or tearing your favorite t-shirt or those big earth-shaking, life-altering changes. Change is a part of life. Change is something we need to anticipate. We need to learn to accept. We need to prepare for. And even try to effect change. This church is now 13 years old. 13 years ago, actually next Sunday, is our anniversary of when we first met in Dean's garage up there. The guys got together and cleaned things out and put some carpet down and set some chairs up, and we met, about 25 of us. In fact, I would like all those who were there that Sunday, if you would please stand, if you were there the first Sunday that we met. There's about 25 total. You can sit down now. Thank you. At that time, Corby and Natalie were just young newlyweds. Isaiah and Cody were in diapers in the nursery. A lot of changes have taken place in 13 years. Some of those, I think there's about 25 initially, some aren't with us any longer. Some passed away and some just drifted away. But then so many more of you have come in since then. And some of those have left as well. Change. Things don't stay the same. Things change all the time. We've increased from one missionary, the Serino family that we had that very first year, took them on, the first missionaries we took on, to its, I meant to check and see, it's 10, maybe even 11 that we support now, have chosen to support. Thank God. 10% of our giving goes, more than 10% of our income, if you please, goes to missions. And I'm pleased with that. I don't want to see us give more, but that's been a desire of my heart since I've been in the ministry, is for the church that I pastor to give at least 10% of what comes in tithes to missions. And thank God we have exceeded that goal. But there's been a lot of changes in the past 13 years. Babies born, a few funerals, Sarah Smith, Earl Weaver, Jack Libby are the main ones that I can think of. Not that there aren't some others. If there are, they escape me at this time, though. But you know what? We're all getting older, too. Like I said, you know, Corby and Natalie were just young newlyweds 13 years ago. Were you married in 2001? Yeah. So we're getting older. And I don't know what lies ahead for us. There are some options and some things out there I'm going to throw out, but you know, I don't know the details about these things. But there will be things that continue to change and transitions that will continue to be need to be made. There's a prospect of my replacement. Now, don't be alarmed. I don't know of any serious health problems and not planning on leaving, but let's face it, we've seen Brother Hendricks, who is younger than me, with a heart attack. Several men that I went to Bible school with have had some serious health issues just in this past year. And that's caused me to think, you know what? I need to make sure that you people are prepared and ready if, in the event, I'm taken out for some reason. That you are able to make that transition. And I've talked to the deacons about some things there and tried to get some things in place, but, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And my health is pretty good right now, but you never know. And you look through and you think and you see a number of transitions just in the idea of leadership. Moses was chosen by God, raised up by God to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he did that and he began. But you know what? All along with Moses, there was somebody else in the background. There was Joshua. Joshua just didn't suddenly take over. Joshua was with Moses most, if not the entire time. When Moses went up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments from God, Joshua went halfway and spent that time alone midway. Not in the camp with the people, building the golden calf, but not up on the mount with Moses either. And Joshua is all a part of that. And what I see is Joshua is being groomed to take over as a leader for the people of Israel. David was groomed to be a leader of the people of Israel. He wasn't groomed by his predecessor, but he was groomed by God for that purpose. And I don't know if God would have us to maybe bring somebody in to begin to move in that direction, or if God's got somebody and when the time comes, they'll be there. But number one, we need to know God's in control. And we need to be prepared for that. And I've given the guys some ideas, and I'm going to try to put something together for them so that as deacons change and so forth, that's before you, so that you have something to work with, but to be able to be prepared to take over or to get somebody to take over in my absence. But you know what? that transition time can be a difficult time too. Because sometimes people get the idea, well, we want somebody just like our pastor. You're not going to get that. That's probably a good thing in a lot of ways. You know what? When God takes me out of here, I believe God will be ready to take this church to maybe another level where I have not taken it. And you need to keep that in the back of your mind. What does God want to do with us? And who is the man, not just like Pastor Codner, but who is the man that God wants for us at this time? You don't want to replace me. You want who God wants here for what God wants to do with this ministry and where God wants to take this ministry. Need to keep that in mind. There are some other needs in the ministry. We'll be electing deacons in a little bit here. Ron's term expires. He is up for re-election, and Dan Hall has agreed to run as well if elected. Making a choice there, a transition. Maybe not a big deal, but it's a change. Different perspective on things. If Dan is elected instead of Ron, and what does God want? Not who do I like the best of the two. It's not about popularity. It's where does God want to take this church? And we need to be open to what God's direction in this thing. Some choices there. We still got a need in Children's Church. The spot that was vacated by the Otters when they moved. That transition. And there's still a need for someone to step in and to help in that ministry. Sunday school class. We just started a new Sunday school class. And right now, Eileen and Sarah are teaching that Sunday school class. But Sarah might be facing some own transitions of her own. As she puts out applications, and she may not be here for very long. We don't know. And there'll be a vacancy there that will need to be fulfilled. Changes taking place. Gary spoke to me about the desire to, he once a month, it's, which is the one over there? Wynwood. Once a month he has services over at the Wynwood Nursing Home in Center Hall. He'd like to see someone else come in and take over that for him. Because every Sunday night he's over here at Salem Hills. So once a month he does Wynwood in the afternoon and then comes back over to Salem Hills in the evening. Be nice for somebody to step in to take that and maybe even have somebody as a backup for him at Salem Hills when he can't be there. And there's other possible ministries that maybe God would like to start here. Transition. Are we ready? Are we willing? Are we able to take the step? You know, sometimes folks sit back and say, well, you know, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm capable of that. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3, Moses has come to the burning bush and met God. This is as he's being called to the work there. Chapter 4, God begins to speak to him. And look at verse 10. Begin in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I can't do it, God, because I don't speak so good. I'm not educated as well as... Well, actually, he couldn't say that because he was educated very well in the land of Egypt. But he said, I just don't have the ability to speak very well. Look at God said, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, God doesn't look for those who are deemed capable and talented He looks for those who are willing. Like Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." There's a lot of times I got no idea what we should do as a church. I don't have any special insights. We just pray and we seek God's direction any more than you have. And we need to be ready and willing to transition as God brings the opportunities to us. There's a prospect of moving to another location. Again, I don't know what direction this thing's going. I don't know how long. We've just had to sign a lease. It runs 3 more years. So more than likely, we would be here at least 3 more years. But what does God want after that? Now you stop and you think, when we first moved into this building, that window was the doorway to enter. There was no wall there. You just, when you came into the church, you just came right in. What we come in now was a Sunday school room identical to the one that's next to it there. And what we rented at that time ended, I think, about halfway back in the big Sunday school room back there. So we added on to that once and expanded the nursery. Then we added that next room back there where Nathan and Heather had their Sunday school class, which at one time was a beauty shop. And then we added the last room on, which was a carpet store, and I think there was something else in there at one time, too. There are some changes that have taken place. God's expanding, but there's really no more place to go here. We've had a building committee when we were looking at that property there in Spring Mills, and the general consensus of the men on the building committee was, we don't want to put money into another rented facility. If we're going to spend a bunch of money to renovate, we want it to be our building. So that's the direction where we're looking, but God's going to have to provide. But that is a prospect that we face. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. This, of course, is as the people of Israel are getting ready to enter into the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy covers at the most about 30 days period of time. As Moses is preparing them for this and getting ready to transfer the leadership over to Joshua, who will then, in fact, lead them into the promised land. And he says this here, beginning in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." They'd been taken out of Egypt. They'd spent 40 years in the wilderness getting ready for this. Although it could have only taken 11 days. But because of sin, that 11-day journey turned into a 40-year wandering in the wilderness. But now that's all over. This transition period for them, and there's about to be another transition, but it's what God intends to be the last one for them. And he says, "You've been here long enough. Now it's time to go. The Lord our God," verse 7, "turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside of the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and unto the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Go in and take it. God says, "You know what? I've had this for you all along." As we read there in Genesis chapter 12, this is where God called Abraham to go. But there was an in-between time. There was a wilderness as well as a captivity in Egypt. between Abraham's going and now them finally getting into the land and being able to possess that land. Sometimes God puts an in-between place for us. And an interim pastor can serve in that position in the event and when the time comes that I need to be replaced. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. To help with that transition. To create somewhat of a buffer between me and the next man so he's not always being compared to me. God puts an in-between place in there. He did that for the nation of Israel, this in-between place. But he says, you've dwelt long enough. Now it's time to go. Now it's time to take. Now it's time to enter into the promises that God had for them. Be clear on the leading of God. As a church, and we look at the prospect of our own property, we need to be clear on the leading of God in that thing. That it's not just some harebrained idea that I've come up with. That God's really in the thing. We need to be obedient to God in the process as well. And you need to be willing to let some things go. We've got it pretty good here, folks. There's no lawn to mow. We don't have to worry about the parking lot. That's Danny's problem. But there'll be some changes if we get our own property. And some of these things that maybe we take for granted too oftentimes. And maybe some people that we've taken for granted too oftentimes. You know, part of that transition too is the idea, you know, we got people that do a lot around here. And we as a church probably should be picking up some of that slack. When something needs to be done around here, it shouldn't be just left to Danny to figure it out and have to do it. It's our church. When there's meals to prepare, you know, sometimes they want to go see their grandkids. And we need to step in and take care of that thing. See, we get comfortable with having somebody there all the time that's always done it. And then when they're gone, it's like, what do we do now? Transitions. We need to be prepared for them, folks. We need to think through some things. Number one, we need to be open and flexible to God's purpose, to God's plan, and God's surprises. You think about Abraham for a second, going back to Genesis 12. There's no indication that he had any kind of a relationship with God. You think, well, why did God speak to him? It says in Genesis 18 that God knew that Abraham, God chose Abraham because he knew he would raise his children right. Before God spoke to him in Genesis 12, there's no indication that they had any kind of a relationship. His people were pagans. Idol worshippers. And suddenly God comes and says, hey, you, come with me. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your father's people. And I want you to come with me. And he went. Are we that responsive to God? He went not knowing where he was going, leaving behind everything he was familiar with. You see, those transition times can be kind of uncomfortable, filled with uncertainties. But if God is leading in it, there's nothing to fear. We need to be open to what he wants, his purposes, his surprises. In Isaiah 55, verse 9, it says this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God knows what he's doing. Look at Job 23. Job chapter 23. Job 23 and verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows where he's taken us. We read about Brother Rodriguez and how 2014 was a very difficult year for them. But how did he say that? We are generally thankful for the trials, because we definitely learned a lot, and we believe we are stronger, wiser, and closer to the Lord as a result. God's got a purpose in that. God used that wilderness for the people of Israel for a purpose, to get them ready for the promised land that he was going to take them into. God used Egypt for a purpose. When they went down into Egypt, when Jacob and his family went down to Egypt, they numbered about 75. When they came out, they were several million. You know why God didn't let them stay in the land when Abraham first went up there and then Isaac and Jacob were born? Because they couldn't have controlled it. They couldn't have, they couldn't have occupied it. They weren't big enough in number. God used Egypt to incubate them, to allow them to grow, to the point that when they came in, they were a force to be reckoned with, and able to keep the land from being overrun, not only by the pagans, but by wild animals. In fact, it says when God moved them into the land of Egypt, or into the land of Canaan, not only had that been, Egypt been used to prepare them, but God used the pagans to prepare the land for them. He says, you're going to go into a land with wells digged, and houses built, and vineyards planted, fully furnished. All you do is move in and to occupy, take it over. Now, the 430 years in Egypt weren't easy. The 40 years in the wilderness were not easy. But there was a purpose in it. And they were stronger for us. The times of transition can stretch us, strengthen us, prune and purge us. The 40-year wilderness, everybody when they started that was 20 years old and above, died, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. So when they entered into Israel, there were only two men that were over 60 years old. All the others have been purged because of their unbelief. Because when they needed to conquer that land, they needed a people that was going to look to God and trust Him and follow Him. Not those guys that came back and said, well, it's a great land, but have you seen the giants there? Oh, we can't do that! And Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. God said, let's go. That's what they needed. And when we go through those transition times, we need people to say, okay, this is beyond us, but there is a God in heaven who we worship. So we need to be flexible to His plan and accept that thing. Secondly, to seek godly counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in a multitude of counselors, they are established. Chapter 20 and verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Over and over, the Bible stresses the importance of seeking godly counsel. I had my heart set on that piece of property in Spring Mills. I'd been looking at that for years. I said, man, that's a perfect place for a church. And then, as I said, my dream crashed into the wall of reality. Because of some wise counsel from many of you. Because you looked at it with some different eyes than I was looking at it. And it wasn't wise. I thank God for that. And in anything that we do, seek counsel. You start looking for a pastor, there's some men that I think you ought to get a hold of and seek their counsel and direction in that thing. As we continue to consider prospective properties, we need to make sure that we get the counsel to be able to assess the condition and whether it's in a floodplain or not, or all those other little neat little things that can really make a mess of things. Wise counsel. Seek godly counsel. Number three, don't murmur and complain. That's what plagued the people of Israel. Everything. Oh, why didn't you just let us die in Egypt, God? Why bring us out in this lousy wilderness? All we get is this bread from heaven and these fresh quail every day. That's disgusting. We'd rather have the leeks and garlics of Egypt and be slaves. When we get to complain, we say some stupid stuff. Be careful. And understand that if God has brought a transition to change our way, there's a purpose in it. And don't let the griping and complaining start. Yeah, it disquiets you. There's some fear. There's discomfort. It's difficult. You leave the familiar for things that you're unaccustomed to, like Abraham did. And he packed up and left. And look how God blessed that thing. It says in Isaiah 43, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is able. But think about Abraham for a moment. He said, leave your kindred and your family and your father's land to a place that I'll go to. And then it says, he took Lot. He didn't leave everything he was supposed to. Sometimes we try to drag stuff along with us. God doesn't want us to have. God's trying to get us separated from. And he took Lot with him. And what happened? As their herds and their flocks grew, there arose a conflict between the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot. To the point where Abraham finally had to say, okay, I messed up. Take what you want, Lot. It's all before you. You get first choice. Whatever you take, I'll go the opposite direction. And Lot lifted up his eyes to those well-watered lands of Sodom. ignoring the Sodomites that dwelt there. Saw that it would be good for his livestock, the grazing lands and so forth, and plenty of water and everything. But he did not take note of the men of Sodom. And he lost everything. Even his family. Though two daughters made it out, they were marred by Sodom. There's a danger in the murmuring and complaining and taking stuff with us God doesn't want us to take. There's some things that need to be left behind. Number four, don't get in a hurry. Psalm 37, verse 5. Start in verse 4. Well, let's start in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When I do things in a hurry, it's usually a mistake. When we were considering this room back here, that was one of the things that was brought up. I just don't know about this. It's just so fast. We get in a hurry. Churches get in a hurry to replace a pastor. Churches get in a hurry to buy a piece of property. Christians get in a hurry to do all kinds of things. And we end up in a mess. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. You don't have to force the issue. He'll bring it to pass if we wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, the Scripture says. Pray. Seek godly counsel. Educate yourself. Wait. And then when you got the clear direction of God, act. And number five, accept that things will not continue as they are. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 13. Consider the work of God. God's all about transition. We started out talking about the idea that we have been transformed into the image, or we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We were a new creature in Christ. That's a transition. But that thing's to continue in our lives as God is working to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, as Gary was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Consider the work of God. Consider what God's doing, what God wants to do. He says, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? You know, there's a lot of things that the world is trying to make straight that God made crooked. I'll let you think about that and apply that however you want. But there's things that God did for a purpose that we're trying to undo. But then he goes, says this in verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. God's in control. We need to trust him. We need to understand change and transition are a part of life. Whether it be in my own personal life or us corporately as a church, change is going to happen. Life is not static. How do we respond to those changes? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, we just put before you this morning and before this people the need to be adaptable. We get stuck in our ways a lot of times. We get entrenched in that which is familiar and comfortable. And we resist and rebel when you decide to stir up the nest. God, help us to be willing to accept and transition as the times come, when they come, and to wait for you and to look to you through that transition. God, I've put out some generalities this morning. There may be some specific ways that you can apply this message to the hearts of your people. I pray that it will benefit them, God, and prepare us to better accept the changes that you bring away in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.